Coming up on episode 120 of TritonCast, Triton Hoops is in the focus when we chat with UC San Diego head coaches Heidi Vanderveer and Clint Allard. The basketball season officially tips off next week, and there's so much to be excited about in La Jolla. Heidi and Clint will reflect on last season's Big West championships and look ahead to what it would take to repeat in 2026. UC San Diego basketball is in the Triton spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 120 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. No matter where you found us, on your favorite podcast platform or on UCSDTritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to Triton hoops, let's go around campus. Congrats to Asha Kozan and Luigi Franco as they swept Big West Swimmer of the Week honors. Fall sports are heading into the home stretch with final home matches for soccer this week, and men's and women's cross country will be off to Hawaii for Friday's Big West Championship. This week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week are Kenai Braun from men's soccer and Ava Tybor from women's soccer. Congrats to those two. Well, now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. We'll start with women's hoops and head coach Heidi Vanderveer. Last year, the Tritons won 20 games on the way to a Big West Championship and NCAA tournament berth. But as Heidi tells us, this year, it's a new team. Here's our conversation with women's basketball head coach Heidi Vanderveer. Coach, as you look back and reflect upon the season you had last year and kind of the magical run as we got into Big West play, what stands out to you most? What will you maybe remember most long term about that group and that experience?
I just think a group that we talked every day last year about the incremental gain of improvement. And I feel like they committed to that. And obviously in the first part of the season, early parts of the season, their work was not necessarily rewarded with wins, but they were very mature. They continued to work hard, stay positive. The things that I think our program are built on, resiliency, grit. And I think that obviously got hot at the right time and had a magical run and had a really fun March and a fun spring. And now we're back. I think we learned from that. And, you know, hopefully it set a foundation for our program moving forward.
Yeah. Last year in non-conference, when the wins weren't always there, how did the group stay together and stay positive? And how are you as a staff able to kind of keep things headed in the right direction, knowing that it is a long season from November to March?
Yeah, I think that you just keep on showing up. You show up, be the best version of yourself, give your best every day, show them things that they're doing well and things that we need to improve in. You know, I think that as a staff and as a culture, it is always very positive. It's never, you know, we don't point fingers. We win as a team, we lose as a team, and we don't really lose. We just grow. I mean, you know, when you don't win, those are just growth opportunities. And I think we took those and we, you know, put them in our bank account and used them as positives versus, you know, woe is me and negatives. So I think that really, again, having great leadership and a great culture, it's not just when things are going well. I mean, culture shows up when things are not going well. And it really did for our team last year.
You bring in six new players this year. How do you integrate them into the system, and how does your returning core help show them the culture and the way?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a great challenge. We, you know, obviously we're here for summer access, and you know, we have great leadership in Aaron Condren and you know, Sabrina, you know, and then we bring in Dymo Maxey and Michaela Rose, who are our veteran guards. They just need a little direction. They don't need a lot. They are leaders. They are excellent workers. They are very competitive. So I think that they added to Aaron, to Rosa, to Sabrina, you know, to Janae. They added quite a bit of youthful exuberance, even though they're veterans. I think that was really fun for our team to experience. And then we have the four freshmen who are just learning and growing every day. Nia Price, Tatum Jones, who's been hurt. Hopefully, you know, she's back now. Lev Fineman's done a great job, and Michaela Farewell have come in and given us something different, but also really provided some youthful energy to help our veteran-laden team.
You mentioned summer access before, and so as a group, how do you use that time in the summer months getting ready for fall practice, which of course then leads into the season?
Yeah, it happens quickly. You don't realize it. The summer was gone and now it's almost November. I think we tried to use it to develop, some trust and some expectations and establish the standard that we always have. And that's always something new every year. It doesn't matter if you have six newcomers, obviously that might be a little more challenging. Or if you just have a total veteran team, I think every team is a new puzzle and you work hard in July to, get the borders down so that you can have a good foundation and the picture starts coming into focus, so to speak, or the puzzle, you solve the puzzle along the way. But I do think that coming in with Michaela Rose and Dymo and then add, some veteran guards like Rosa, June, Gigi, has really helped us. I think that they, again, have they work hard. They're great workers. They're very unselfish, and they're very competitive.
When you get ready to approach a new season, what excites you most as a head coach?
I think just the challenges. Every day I like to wake up and be better today than I was yesterday and be as consistent as I can. And I think that's the message to our team. I'm very excited to see. I feel like we have, a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and it's just how they fit and how they evolve that I'm most excited about. I think this is obviously a relatively new team by, on paper, but I also think that they've gelled well together through the summer and the fall. And I feel like the fun will be seeing them go out and compete and try to be the best version of themselves that they can. And I think that's really the fun every day. Might sound boring, but it's super fun.
We talked about new faces on the roster, but one thing that's not new, your coaching staff is back in its entirety from last year. How important is that? And how does that maybe give you an advantage over some other programs not having that turnover?
I think we have great people in our program. Having them back with consistency and continuity is extremely important for our team, which I think that we talked about consistency a lot in our personality, but it's also important in the continuity of our staff. Vanessa Nygaard's back for her second season as our associate head coach and does a great job with our team and our defense and just our overall preparation. We have Finique Allen, who's moved into a little different role, works well with our offense and our player development. Bibi Asikochi, I think this might be her sixth year maybe, but she gives us a lot of insight into people and helps us with our scouting. And Alex Young and Miranda Sato, they just, it's a well, not a well-oiled machine, because I like our team, every year is different and presents different challenges, but I think people have moved into, different roles, more responsibility, grown, and that's what you want. And it's fun to watch them evolve, whether they're, obviously Vanessa's she's a young coach, but she is not really a young coach, but she's an excellent coach. And just to watch her operate, watch Finique operate, watch Bibi. It's fun for me. I've worked, alongside some great coaches, and I feel like this is, one of our strongest, if not our strongest staff.
What do you expect, or what can fans expect the identity of the team to be on the floor?
I think we're a lot different. I think the fans will see a team that plays with a lot of energy and defensively oriented. I think, we added Michaela Rose, the Defensive Player of the Year in the Big West. And then Dymo is an excellent defender and plays extremely hard. Lev Fineman, extremely hard. Nikki Polacek, extremely hard, plays extremely hard. Sabrina, I think that from top to bottom, this might be you know, a group that really has embraced the hard hat mentality of get things done on the defensive end. And a lot of that credit goes to Vanessa and Alex and Miranda, who work with our defense. They do a lot of other things, but they really focus on our defense. And a lot of the credit goes to the pressure that Michaela and Dymo can put on.
You get started next week on Monday at Pacific, and then you come home for homecoming in Denver and Sac State and go back out on the road to USF. What do you expect from the non-conference schedule in the first month or so of the season?
Well, I think that we try to always do our non-conference, a challenging non-conference schedule, and play a lot of variety, whether it's from the West Coast Conference or the Big Sky or the Big Ten in this case, just because it gives us the variety that we're going to see in the Big West. And it's going to be very challenging. It's going to be very competitive. Against teams that press, teams that play zone, teams that pack it in, excellent shooting teams. And those are the kind of teams that we're going to see in January and February. So it's always designed to hopefully be as competitive as we can, and then also prepare us for any Big West teams that we play.
Speaking of Big West, you'll start December 6th against Long Beach, and then you have a few weeks and come back at the start of the year. And it's, you know, Big West play, of course, in January and February. How do you see the conference shaping up this year?
I think it'll be very competitive. It always is. We have excellent coaches in the Big West and talented players and teams that compete on a daily basis. And, I don't buy into preseason polls or, you know, whatever have you. With that said, I think that you have to show up every night and really give your best effort and be prepared. And I think it'll be a real challenge on a nightly basis, in Lion Tree or on the road.
Do you think last year in conference play, you might have snuck up on anybody? Is that a thing? Does that even happen? Or do you feel a target on your back now that you're the defending champs?
You know, I don't think you really sneak up on anybody. I feel like people know we were good, and it was just a matter of coming together and getting on a roll. And that's confidence. And that's, you know, kind of just stay with it. And, they always talk about, quote unquote, peaking at the right time. You know, I just think that we just kind of evolved. I don't know if it's peaking at the right time. I think we continue to evolve. So I don't think that we necessarily snuck up on anybody. I think that for this year, at Target on our back, we're a totally different team. And I feel like, but I do think that what we did is we tasted something. You know, we had a ring ceremony. We had a wonderful event, a wonderful tip-off dinner with men's basketball. I think that when we got our rings, we could kind of take a breath and be like, okay, this is the end of, you know, that experience. But you also, while you want it to be a new experience because you have six new players, you also, I think that you, if you were on last year's team, you banked that experience. And if you weren't, then those six new players are like, I want that. You know, I want that, the challenge to repeat. And, you know, and that's our goal. Our goal is always to compete for championships. And I feel like this group is hungry to do that.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you about having so many new faces on the roster, which is becoming more and more standard in college basketball, right, on a yearly basis. But how do you as a group develop that team chemistry that's so important over the course of the long season? Is that something you can recruit to?
Well, I think that, you know, like we have four freshmen, and so we've been recruiting them for years, and we know them, we know their families, they've been on campus a lot, they've integrated with our team. You know, Michaela Rose, we've known, and Dymo, we've known, and this is a new day in college athletics. I don't feel like at a place like UC San Diego, I think retention is always important, right? But also, we really have always recruited on the best and the brightest. And I feel like that's the same thing, whether you're talking about the transfer portal. I think that that's what we do. It takes a unique, well-rounded, you know, somebody who is serious about their scholastic endeavors as well as their, you know, playing at the highest level in basketball to embrace this experience. And I feel like I'm not going to say it's easy, because it's net recruiting and, you know, this environment is never easy. But I feel like when you understand what the experience is that you're providing, and they understand what the experience is, it's kind of like a good match. So take that as a long-winded way to say, I think that we get the best and the brightest, and our job is to have them, kind of navigate the chemistry and the camaraderie. It's a joint effort with coaches and players, and they do a great job.
Thank you for explaining that. Makes a lot of sense. So Heidi,
I'm sure it does, Jeff.
We are looking forward to Monday night when you open at Pacific, and then of course the home opener December 7th, homecoming against Denver. We can't wait to see it, Lion Tree Arena.
It'll be great. Go Tritons. Let's have a great year.
Thanks so much, Heidi. And let me correct myself. The home opener is next Friday, November 7th, and you won't want to miss it. Replica championship banners will be given out to those in attendance. For tickets, visit the Triton box office at ucsdtritons.com/tickets. Let's turn our attention now to men's basketball. New head coach Clint Allard is no stranger to the program, having played here and coached here for nearly 2 decades. What's it been like being the man in charge now? Here's our Triton Spotlight conversation with Clint Allard.
Coach, now that your team has had the opportunity to play a couple of other teams as you get ready to head into your first season as a head coach, how would you assess where you're at as a unit?
Yeah, we are still learning, but I'm really encouraged of the team that we have. We had a kind of closed door scrimmage where I thought we did a lot of good things. Offense looked pretty good. Defense needed a little bit of work. I thought we made a couple decent adjustments. And then the exhibition, which was an awesome experience and had a lot of fans in the building. And I'm sure we had some nerves for our group. And, I thought maybe our competitiveness and physicality wasn't to the level that we kind of expect. And so good time to learn that lesson. But we cleaned some of that stuff up. I feel really good about the group we have.
We'll get more in depth about the group, but honestly, I should have started with you. And how are you adjusting to the role of being in the big chair? And what's that been like for you over the last 6 months?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind for sure. But it's been really enjoyable experience. And, I have a lot of great people helping me both administratively and with the coaching staff. And, we have a lot of new pieces in our program, both players and coaches and everything like that. So getting everybody on the same page has been a big undertaking of where we're at right now. But it's been a really awesome experience. And I'm just really looking forward to continue to build on everything that UCSD basketball has become.
Yeah, and I think from the outside, it's easy to look at the roster and say, wow, they have 10 new players. That's a lot. And I know that's kind of the state of the sport now. But in your case, you're in a new role. You have 4 new assistants that weren't here last year. So what has that been like coming together as a staff?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody's had such respect for the program the last couple of years. And so both with the staff and the players that have joined, they're eager to learn and kind of want to know the ways we did things, right? But every group is different and every team is different. And so I'm encouraging, obviously, the staff to continue to kind of bring the ideas of what's best for this group and at the same time, share with them kind of our expectations of what the program is going to look like, what we stand for. So we've had some really good discussions. We meet a lot, and these guys are really invested in the future of our program. And so that learning curve goes for the players and the coaches, right? And I think, and I'm included in that mix in a new role. But I think we're moving the right direction. Every day we're getting a little better.
And for you, being a head coach for the first time, although the season itself hasn't started, has there been anything surprising to you about what goes into being a head coach besides, of course, the on-court X's and O's?
Yeah. That's a great point. There is a lot of things outside of kind of the basketball that I've really been a big part of my focus, right? How to run a meeting, how to just like kind of run it's essentially a small kind of corporation, right? And so running that side of it efficiently, making sure that we are kind of have some organizational health to our program has been a big part of my focus. And then just like some things pop up every once in a while that you don't expect, right? I've been kind of sharing with our staff, like, you know, I knew it'd be a little different coaching in the game and how that is. The part I didn't anticipate, because I've been in the locker room for 20 years now and watching, but when you're at the front of that locker room and everybody's looking at you and versus being in the back of the locker room and chiming in, it's a different perspective. And that was something I didn't anticipate. And again, those early season reps is something that's good for me as well.
So again, it's been a scrimmage and an exhibition, and the real games are coming next week. But do you write down your pregame speech and practice it in the mirror? Is it that kind of thing?
No, not exactly like that. And that's something I have kind of taken from Coach Olin and tried to apply is, you know, usually we have a little area of focus going into the game of what we're trying to accomplish or put our attention to. And so I want to try to keep a simple message as they're taking the floor every game. And so that's, it does take a little bit of preparation about what that's going to be, but not so much making that talk in the mirror or anything. All these kind of media things and all this kind of stuff that I've been doing to talk are all good reps for me as far as speaking in front of our group as well.
Got it. That totally makes sense. So let's go back to last year. I know we've asked you about it, and I'm sure you've gotten that question billions of times, but now that you've had some distance from the 24-25 season, how special was that?
I mean, people go entire careers and don't have a season like that, right? I mean, that's a big part of why we do the things we do. So looking back at it, I just cherish and appreciate it even more of the work that everybody put in and the payoff that they got. It was really just a special thing to be a part of. And I'm just like really proud of that group. I'll always kind of cherish it. And we accomplished things that probably not a lot of people thought we could do. And I'm really thankful for that team and being a part of it. And that's why we do this thing. That's why we coach, is to kind of see our hard work kind of pay off in success and have everybody appreciate that. And I thought that was, like I said, not everybody gets that payoff. And I'm really fortunate that we did.
Of course, that was a season that we will always remember here at UC San Diego. You coached under Eric Olin for a long time, and clearly last season was the epitome of success. So what kinds of things from a program standpoint will we see in terms of style of play that we have seen in the past, and what might be different, you know, for us in 25-26?
I think for this year, every group is different, right? So you're going to see a lot of the same things. Like, we pride our program on the offensive side, on ball movement, everybody sharing it, being skilled, being smart. On the defensive side, playing a team brand of basketball where everybody's helping the guy next to them. Those things are going to still carry over. I think with this year's group, we've been so guard dominant for my years here at UC San Diego. And I think this year's group has a little bit more front court kind of like go-to guys. And so we'll lean into that, whether it's, you know, they're good on the perimeter and good inside. So it's not just always going to be dumping it inside, but playing off that a little more, maybe playing with a little less on ball screen and making sure that those guys are touching the ball. And so I think that's going to be a little bit of the change of this group. And it's less about me being different than Eric and a little bit more of the personnel we have this year.
So how did you put this team together? Right. We ended up with 10 new faces on the roster. Relatively condensed timeline. And again, that's kind of the industry now. But how did you find the guys you got, and kind of what roles might we see from some of them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, step number one is we got to make sure people can get into school, right? This is still an academic place first. And that's number one part of identifying the prospects that can get in. So that shrinks our pool a little bit. And we accept that's, you know, part of the special place is there is an academic portion to this. And then so once we kind of make sure that guys are admissible, you know, I mean, I think we tried to build our team with complementary parts, right? Like not having a lot of guys that do the same thing. So we want to make sure we have enough shooting on the floor at any given time. We want to make sure we have enough rebounding on the floor. We want to make sure kind of, you know, we don't have too many kind of minus defenders on the floor at any one time, right? And so as we add one piece at a time, it kind of affects who we're trying to look for in the next piece. And our coaching staff did a great job of kind of bringing those parts together and making sure the pieces made sense and kind of people met the thresholds of what we're looking for successful basketball. So that's what kind of how we went about it. It's an inexact science until you get them here. That's for sure. The positive part is there's so much video and so much statistics and so much information out there on all these recruits that we are able to get a pretty deep dive and get a pretty good sense of who we're going to get.
And what was your message to the returning guys, Aiden, Cade, Jason, Ryder, et cetera, like to not only get them to want to stay here, but what their roles might look like going forward as you build the rest of the team around them?
Yeah, those guys have been great. They just are so bought in and they're so, I definitely wanted to convince them to stay, but it didn't take a lot of convincing because they all just like are really bought into the success and everything that UC San Diego has to offer. And then so what I told those guys is I need their help, right? They know what the standards are in our program. And there's not too many of us kind of remaining that do. And so they're part of the kind of extension of myself and the message that we're trying to have of what are the expectations and let's make sure we're upholding those so we can continue our growth.
One of the new guys I wanted to specifically ask you about was Tom Beattie, who comes from the University of Hawaii, but is from New Zealand. So having that kind of overseas connection, and of course, Bol Ding did it from Australia as well. So you still kind of have that Oceania connection as well. Was that important or did that just happen to come together?
It was an added bonus, right? I think, it's good that obviously Niwa last year coming from New Zealand and being league MVP, that was an awesome success story. And I think Tom in particular just like really respected the way we've done things. He got a kind of front row view at it at Hawaii. And, you know, I think with both of those guys, there are some overlapping attributes that they have of just toughness and intelligence and will kind of do anything for the team. And so I don't know if that's just a New Zealand trait or if we just kind of happened to get lucky and got a couple really good ones. But I'm really excited to have Tom in our program and hopefully continue to recruit some good players in that region.
One more on recruiting. I mean, you just mentioned intelligence, and I've heard Coach Olin talk about that before. How do you lean into that, right? Obviously, you mentioned you have to be a pretty smart kid to get into school at UC San Diego. So how do you lean into that kind of smart IQ basketball?
So I think, the way it really shows up a lot of times is kind of the guys that can really pass, that move the ball, that make the right decisions, which is what we want in our program, right? And so that's kind of how we identify it. And so then how we use it is being pretty advanced in our scouting reports, right? They're able to apply a lot of information that we give them, both on the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball, being able to like really get into detail about individual shot selections and how they're all different. And I think you have to be kind of I think being a really high level college basketball team, there isn't a level of kind of personal intelligence that you got to have about your game. And I think our guys really do a good job of that. And it's our job as coaches to continue to put them in places to be successful. And then it's their job to kind of buy into that messaging and kind of continue to play to their strengths.
Home opener is Monday night, and then, of course, homecoming next weekend on Saturday the 8th. November 3rd feels early, but I guess it's been kind of that Monday for a few years now. Does it feel early to you? Do you feel like you're ready to go? Do you wish you had another month?
I'm ready to go. I think, that being said, we're far from a finished product, but I think we're excited. Like, we've been at this for over 60 practices, right? Like, that's a lot of time. We've now gotten to play a couple other teams, but you know, having that first experience with the exhibition and having fans in the crowd was just made it feel like season is here. And so we're excited for it. I really expect our guys to kind of attack each game. And then I think we're going to, you know, get a lot better over here in this non-conference and hopefully really be prepared for a Big West play when that comes.
I know eyes will be on Big West, but in non-conference, you go to Fresno State early here in November, and then you got that 3 games in 3 days tournament in Walt Disney World. What are you hoping to gain from that experience where you know you'll play Temple first, but beyond that, you don't know what day and time, et cetera?
Yeah.
Time, I should say.
Well, like you mentioned, I think we are always trying to prepare for kind of the Big West. So that's going to be games no matter win, loss, wherever we're at. We're going to be playing 3 really good mid-major programs on consecutive days. And in the Big West tournament, you know, you hope to get a double bye and only have to play 2, but there are situations where you have to play 3 or 4. Either way, you're going to be playing on consecutive days against really good mid-major programs. And so that's intentionally kind of trying to prepare us for that situation. I think the other thing that it does is when we play 3 games in 3 days, we're going to need a lot of our guys to step up and contribute, right? And I think it's going to give opportunities for guys going a little deeper into the rotation to see what they can do when the lights are on. And so I'm really excited for that. We're going to need everybody. We're going to need contributions up and down our roster. And that's a shining example of a time we're going to really need to go a little deeper.
There's no question that that will be the case when you get to that point. But when you're in the moment in coaching, say that first game against Temple, is it do whatever it takes to win this game and we'll figure it out tomorrow? Or is that in the back of your mind of, hey, we're going to be playing, you know, 24 hours or maybe even a little less from now and then the day after that as well?
Yeah, I think it goes, some of it's based on the individual, right? Some guys can just like play all day and then they're ready to bounce back and go the next day. And then some guys, either how hard they play or what their conditioning level is at, like that's going to be a lot to ask of them if I overtax them one night and going into the next. So those are some of the decisions we'll make. I think, and same thing like the Big West tournament, right? Like, yeah, you're going to do everything you can to win kind of the game in front of you while also being mindful of that you got back-to-back things coming and you're going to need contributions from a lot of people. So I do think it is a little different approach than just an individual game with no other games kind of on the front or back end of it when you head into those tournament styles.
Let's talk Big West a little bit. UC Irvine was picked in the preseason coaches poll. You all were picked 4th. Big West play starts on December 6th at Long Beach State. And beyond that, obviously a tough slate awaits. So how do you get your guys ready for December 6th and then starting again in January 1st?
Yeah, I think just having them realize that no matter what the opponent is, they're all good. They're all capable of beating you. They're all going to play really hard and physically. And it's a really good league. There's great coaching. There's great talent. And we got to be prepared every game to be ready to go. And so from December 6th there at Long Beach, that's going to be a great test for us on the road against a really good program. And then when January hits kind of out of the break, it's going to be, you know, 2 games a week against really good teams. So we're looking forward to it. And I think we'll be prepared when that time comes.
Not that you have any say over it one way or another, but just out of curiosity, do you like playing that weekend in December and then having a few weeks before a conference play really kicks off, or would you rather be straight through once it starts?
That's a good question. I think I actually don't hate how it worked out this year for that part of our schedule. So we have in that first week, we do have 1 of the byes. So instead of a double game week, we only have a single game week. So it gets us a little taste of Big West play. And then come January, it feels like it's all out. So I think by that time of the year, in early December, you should still kind of be ready to play meaningful games. So I'm okay with the way that the schedule works.
We'll wrap it up here, Clint, and thanks for the time. How will you define success for your group this season?
I think success will be defined by meeting our standards of kind of competitiveness every time, toughness, celebrating each other. Those are some of the things that we really talk about. We've had a lot of great conversations with this group of what they want to stand for. And a lot of that comes back to like kind of being together and being a family. And I really believe that. Obviously, we're going to go through highs and lows through the season, and it'll test that a little bit. And I anticipate us continuing to stay together. And then, like, we got to continue to improve. I think, you know, we talked about already earlier in this podcast about how, you know, like, are we ready for the season to be here? Well, just because game one starts doesn't mean kind of improvement and progress doesn't need to continue. And I think if we take the approach that we're going to continue to progress and improve through the season, that'll be another indicator of success.
Thanks for the time and best of luck this season. I'm sure we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate the time, Clint. The Tritons kick off the season Monday night and have their banner-raising ceremony on homecoming November 8th. For tickets, visit the Triton box office at ucsdtritons.com/tickets. Well, coming up in 2 weeks, we'll be back with a new episode of Triton Cast, chatting with cross-country Sylvana Northrup. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of Triton Cast premiere on Wednesdays. Thanks for listening this week, and don't forget you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 120 episodes anytime you want on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast, and if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.